for the message tonight. So if you don't have a Bible, I hope someone within range of you, some of you adults are sitting there with some of the teens, maybe you could share your Bible. And if not, look for another teenager that has one, because we'll be using them tonight to look at some Scripture. For those of you who don't know me, you haven't missed anything. Amen? All right. We're going to present a sermon tonight called Rock Revealed. And I hope you'll listen well. I hope that you'll give me a chance to present some things to you that I think are very important, that will have a lot of meaning to you as teenagers, and a lot of meaning to the adults also. I want to ask you, if you're visiting with us, to be courteous to us. We don't allow our teenagers to sit with their arms around each other or have their hands on each other. And so please pay us that courtesy, please. If you're visiting with us, we'd appreciate it.
We thank you for it.
And so just listen and let us talk to you a little bit tonight. I think you'll be enlightened about many things as we get into the message tonight. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I do pray that you bless this message tonight. Lord, this sermon will take a little longer than the average sermon. And Lord, I want to be a blessing to these teenagers and these moms and dads and children here tonight. I pray that Christ might be honored through what we do tonight. I pray that the amplifier and the tape recorders and the things that we'll use tonight will work properly, that Lord, Satan would not have any of his way in this service tonight. And Lord, that souls might be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. This is not a sermon on the mechanics of music or even of rock music. I'm not qualified to speak on that. I am not a musician. I have played guitar in the past. I've played clarinet in the past, but I'm not a musician, so I cannot speak on that. It's rather a sermon on the current ways rock music is being used to manipulate the bass drives within the heart of man, and especially within the heart of teenagers. How many know tonight where rock and roll got its name? Raise your hand. I didn't think so. One person, my wife, as far as I know. Rock and roll, first of all, be enlightening to some of you here tonight, got its name from a man named Alan Freed, who was a disc jockey in 1954 in the city of Cleveland. In the city of Cleveland, he began to hear the sounds of oldies but goodies like Chuck Berry and Elvis Presley, and he began to visit some of the rock concerts and noticed that there was a revolution in sexuality and in every other area taking place, and he tried to find a name for this new kind of music, and he decided that it ought to be called rock and roll. He got the name from a ghetto term that was used in a lot of the major cities of that time, and the ghetto term for rock and roll was the term for fornication or sex outside of marriage, rock and roll. That's the name and where he got it from a ghetto term meaning fornication, rock and roll. That's where we got the name, and it's carried that theme through it since its inception in the early 50s. Now it's called simply rock for the most part, because it has become, rather than just something funny or something to enjoy, rock has become a serious medium for revolution in our times. Now, I'm not talking just about this Sandinista-type revolution or the insurgent-type revolution, but I'm talking about revolutions of the mind, changing the minds of mankind, and especially of youth. Now, rock is bad because Satan knows that he has a little time left. It's getting worse because he knows he doesn't have long left. Listen, teenagers, you may have never heard it before, but Jesus Christ is coming back to earth real soon. Amen? And rock is getting worse than it's ever gotten before because the devil knows he has but a little time, and then the Lord is coming, and so he must get to the minds of men while he has time. Now, I want to establish this, first of all, before we get into the meat of the message tonight. I want us to get into the meat of the word. Now, rock or music, let me start with this. Music is a part of our life. Amen? Part of everyone's life. And ought to be a part of everyone's life. Music ought to be a part of every unsaved person's and every Christian's life. Now, first of all, when we get saved, the Bible says we are to sing a new song in Christ. Amen? Turn with me to Psalm 95 for the first scripture tonight. Psalm chapter 95. The book of Psalms, chapter 95. The word psalms means songs. These are songs that were sung as praise unto God. Book of Psalms, chapter 95. I want to just establish the fact that when we get saved, God says we are to have a new song in our heart, a new song of praise unto the Lord. Psalm 95, verse 1. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And isn't it strange that Jesus is called the rock of our salvation and Satan has changed it to rock music? Huh? Isn't that strange? Look at Psalm 96, 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Look at Psalm 98, 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Look at Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Look at Psalm 101, verse 1. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. The Bible teaches that we are to praise God by singing of his attributes. His attributes of mercy, of righteousness, of holiness, of judgment. Music was created for one purpose, to praise God Almighty. That's the only reason it was ever created. And we need to get in our minds that when we get saved... You see, the reason a Christian can sing a new song is 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Behold, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. When you come to Christ, things change in your life. I mean... The kind of words you used to use before often change. The kind of music you listened to before, it changes. The kind of things you used to do before, that changes. And a lot of things change. And God says we are to have a new song. Did you know that a sign, Christians, one of the signs of a Spirit-filled Christian is music? Look with me at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. That's in the New Testament. For those adults here who don't read their Bibles, amen? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The sign of the Spirit-filled Christian is music in his heart. It says in Ephesians 5:18, And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. All right? God says, be filled with the Spirit. Notice it doesn't end there. It's a semicolon. And then God describes what being filled with the Spirit is. It is this, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms. The book of Psalms is a book of songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. One of the signs of a Christian who's filled with the Spirit of God is that he has a song in his heart and on his lips. Music is to be a part of his life. Music was created to praise God Almighty. One of the signs of a Spirit-filled Christian is that he has music in his heart. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Just ahead a little bit there. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll notice not only is it a sign of the Spirit-filled Christian, but it's a sign of the Word-filled Christian, those that are filled with the Word of God. Colossians 3 and verse 16. It says, Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You see, God says one of the signs of a Christian who is sold out to God, who loves God, whether he be a teenager or a child or an adult, one of the signs of a Christian who's dedicated to Christ is that within his heart, he'll have a song. Within his heart, he'll have praise unto God. And you see, the music that a Christian listens to is to be music that praises God. Amen? And I love to sing music that praises God. Whenever I get excited, I sing unto the Lord a new song. I sing something. You know what I do sometimes? You're going to think I'm insane. I'm not going to demonstrate this. I will demonstrate some things later, but not this. Sometimes when I get happy in the Lord, I'll take a psalm that I've memorized, and I'll just make up music to it and sing it. I don't know a thing about what it says, about what I'm singing, that is, the notes and so forth, but I'll just make up a psalm and just start singing it. You know why? That's what the Bible said you're supposed to do. Man, you ought to hear me. Some of the weirdest sounds you've ever heard in your life come out of my mouth. You think rock music is weird, you ought to hear me sing one of the psalms. That's strange. But anyway, songs are to be in our heart. Teenagers, moms and dads, God said one of the signs of a Spirit-filled Christian is that he has a song in his heart. So let me say this, to begin to establish a base. Music is to be a part of our lives, and a very vital part of our lives. Now, there's a reason for that. God has always intended that music be in our lives. Music, listen to me now, music is for the soul, not for the body. You see? And what's happened with rock music is they've taken rock music and adjusted it in such a way that it has become music for the body and not for the soul. Music can soothe. Music can stimulate. Music can calm the nerves. Music can excite. Music can do all sorts of things to our inner man, our inner soul, because man is a soul and he has a body. You remember the story of Adam and Eve, teenagers? God said he created Adam and Eve, and he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living body. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says Adam became a living soul. And the purpose of music is to speak to the soul. The black musicians in particular in our nation have dubbed their music soul music. And they have chosen the right term because music speaks to the soul. Now, let me give you a little definition I've made up. Music is an outward expression of the inward morality of the soul. Let me say that again. Music is an outward expression of the inward morality of the soul. That is, what we sing in our music says what we are way down inside. What we listen to in the way of music says what we are way down inside. And so our music can play a very important part in our life. But let me say this too. Music can be used for two reasons. It can be used for good, or it can be used for evil. Take your Bibles with me tonight and turn to 2 Kings in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 15. 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 15. Here we have the story of one of the greatest prophets in the Word of God. His name is Elisha. And you'll notice that when music was in his presence, something happened to him. We'll not read all the background of the story, but Elisha has something happen here in this particular passage that's important. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "And now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, now notice, when the music was played, the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Look at verse 16. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, stop right there. When the right music was played, the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord." In other words, when the right music is played, it stimulates the Spirit of God within us to preach the Word of God or to share the Word of God. So music has a purpose to stimulate our soul to share the Word of God as Christians. That's the purpose of music. Now, I want you to see another purpose of music. Turn to 1 Samuel. All right? Just back a little ways. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 23. Here we have a little bit different story about one of the kings in the Bible. The first king of Israel, his name was King Saul. And King Saul got away from the Lord, and an evil spirit took hold of him. And the Bible says that certain things happened to King Saul. But I want to just read one verse here that shows you what can happen with music. 1 Samuel 16, verse 23 says, "And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now, let me tell you something. Let me read that again. It says, verse 23, let's read it together. Everybody read it out loud. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp, and he played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now, music, teenagers, has always been used to either drive away evil spirits or to call evil spirits. You've seen stories on television about natives in darkest Africa or darkest Brazil or whatever they called the film, and how that they used evil, they used the drums, they used evil spirit music to call the evil spirits. Now, let me give you a little true story. I was in a meeting one time, and there was a preacher there, and he was speaking. And he had a very close friend who was on the mission field. And this very close friend had won many, many people to Christ in a country that isn't like ours, where people live in huts, where they don't have the conveniences we have, where they don't have the Bibles that we have, where they don't have the things that we have that are so vital and important to us. And he began to preach the gospel. And many people on that foreign mission field, many people in that tribe where he was trying to reach, got saved. But when they got saved, something happened to them. They began to sing a new song unto the Lord. Now, but something strange took place one day. One day, the missionary was there, and his teenage daughters were there, and they began to play some Christian music. And it was very, very rocky Christian music, so-called Christian rock. You've heard of it. And they began to play it over their stereo system. And the natives, who they had won to Christ, ran to the hut of this missionary. And the missionary and began to scream, calling out the name of the missionary, and ask him to come outside. And they came outside, and the natives who had been saved said to the missionary, "Why do your daughters call the evil spirits when we were told we're not to do that anymore?" You see, the music, the same beat, the same type was used to call the evil spirits before these natives had gotten saved, and now their daughters were playing it on their stereo system. Music has always had a purpose. It's always been to soothe the soul or to call or drive away. You see, music can please the Spirit of God, or music can please the spirit of Satan, one or the other. It can please God, it can give glory to God, or it can give glory to the devil. So, realize that music is important in the sense that it can be used to call or drive away evil spirits. Now, I want you to see another passage of Scripture. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. And let me say this as you turn to it. Satan has always been in the music business. Always has. Since the first time we see Satan on earth, Ezekiel 28, first time we see Satan on earth in the Garden of Eden, we find that he's in the music business. I don't know whether he had a head shop or a rock shop or what kind of shop he had, but he had something going from the very beginning. Amen? And I want you to see that in this particular passage of Scripture, just one verse, which talks about Satan being in the Garden of Eden. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 13. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius and topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." God, teenagers, adults, created Satan for a musical purpose. He was equipped with pipes and tabrets. How many know what a tabret is? Didn't think so. Tabrets are drums. He was equipped with pipes and drums. And he was there in the Garden of Eden. And I'm sure one of the ways that he deceived Eve into committing sin and being disobedient to God was with the music that he played. So realize this, that Satan has always been in the music business. Now, Satan knows this, that if he can reach the mind of a person, he can control the body of a person. So he first tries to reach the mind for the destruction of the body. The Bible warns us of that. In 1 Peter 1:13, the Bible says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be careful of your mind. Protect your mind." A mind, there's a commercial on television. I think it's about raising money for black universities. It says, "A mind is a terrible thing to lose." And that's absolutely right. A mind is a terrible thing to lose, but they're being lost by the millions in our country. Philippians 4:7 says this, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know if they're leaving. They're not leaving, are they? Why? All right, but make sure they leave the building and no one else get up to leave at all tonight. No one else move, please. All right, ushers, you see that happens. All right? All right, now, let me give you some things tonight. Establish the fact that Satan's always been in the music business, that God's established music for the purpose of reaching the souls of men, and that music can be used for good or for evil. Satan uses rock music to bring the listener into another world and into another mind. Let me read you something. Dr. Irving Goldebear of Miami is a sociologist who's an expert who taught for 22 years. Do not believe he's a Christian. Taught for 22 years at City University in New York. He says this, "To the unskilled eye, kids seem to be at a rock concert to see the group and hear the music." He said, "But the real reason is to enter into another world, another nation, an enclosed nation where the volume of sound surrounds him like a bubble. Within this bubble is a style of life free and apart from the outside world. Kids run this nation. Here they can vent the pulsating psychic, social, and sexual power that is percolating in them that they can't release in the controlled world outside." He said, "Drugs are the doorway through which kids go to get into the spell of the music. Drugs and rock music are closely related. Lyrics of rock songs legitimize drug usage, and drug usage puts people in the spell of the music. Drugs and rocks mix very well. They support each other." Now, that's not a preacher talking. That's an unsaved sociologist that taught for 22 years at City University in New York, one who is supposedly a scholar on the subject. Now, I'd like to tell you this. Rock music is basically used for four main purposes, and I want you to listen and give me the courtesy of listening for the next few minutes. Number one, rock is used to promote sex perversion. Now, let me give you some illustrations. I've been doing some research for, I imagine I've spent 30, 40 hours on this sermon. I imagine I've had Brother Vanderwall spending another 20 hours on this sermon. We've gone into, Brother Vanderwall went into Harvard Square to a rock shop there to obtain some of the music that I'll be presenting to you tonight that you've never heard before. I can guarantee it. You've heard it forward, but you've never heard it backwards. Some of the things that I've read have been astonishing. And there are things that I've read from rock stars, what they have said themselves, and from what even former rock stars have said themselves. One of the books every Christian ought to own is called Rock by Bob Larson. You can get it at any Christian bookstore. Let me tell you what it says about sex. This fellow says, "In fact, sex is so important in selling records that a special preview house has been set up in Los Angeles where new songs can be tested demographically." Now, some of the things I'm going to say tonight are going to be shocking, and yet I'm not even going to touch the things that I could reveal to you tonight. I could show you pictures. I could show you, read you things that would literally blow you off your seat, but I can't do it. All right, now listen. As each number is played, the listeners in this special studio can turn dials to indicate their response. Some seats are equipped with basal skin response sensors that measure involuntary spasms of the nervous system. The programmers, teenagers, I will not tolerate any laughing or any talking while I'm preaching. Absolutely none. I mean that. I will not tolerate it. You will shut your mouths while I'm talking. All right? The programmers freely admit they are searching for songs that produce an orgasmic effect and kick the needle on the meter attached to the sensors. So now they're taking rock music into studios and testing to see what it does to the body sexually before they ever put the album out on the market. Because it doesn't appeal sexually, it will not sell. A gay label has just been introduced called Olivia Records. It has been formed to market lesbian albums with songs like Gay and Proud and Women Loving Women. Before their professional demise, the female trio called LaBelle appealed to a highly adorned gay following. As singer Nona Hendricks put it, "I like appealing to both men and women. I don't limit myself. I'm all sexes." The group called County, the most outrageous in the area of homosexuality, appears in full drag with a purple wig and rhinestone-studded bathrobe. He declares, "I always wanted to be a homecoming queen. I was such an unlucky little girl." He typifies the depravity of the gay rock scene by comments like this. Now listen to this. Quote, "Jesus Christ himself was a strange boy." County's songs include such songs as "It Takes a Man Like Me to Love a Woman Like Me." Promotes sex perversion. The second thing it promotes is revolution. I'm not going to get into that much tonight. The third thing it promotes is drugs. Let me read you some quotes. "I can sing better after shooting smack," which is heroin for those of you that don't know, "in both arms than after eating too much." Quote, Linda Ronstadt. Quote, Tom Johnston of the Doobie Brothers. "We were sitting, passing around a joint," which is nicknamed in their neck of the woods a doobie, "so we called ourselves the Doobie Brothers." Glenn Frey of the Eagles. "I'm in the music business for the sex and narcotics." The Bee Gees. "We avoid all hard drugs like cocaine, although we do smoke marijuana." Then it goes on into something else. Promotes sex, and mainly sex perversion. Promotes revolution. Promotes drugs. And fourth, the newest thing, the hottest thing that rock music is beginning to promote is the occult or Satanism. Jefferson Starship recorded a Paul Cantor song, "Your Mind Has Left Your Body." A later album contained the song "Light the Sky on Fire," dedicated to the great god Cocoa Khan. Singer Phoebe Snow tells a chilling story of periodic communications with a Ouija board, accompanied by her husband who claims to have his psychic experience since his teens. The board foretold her pregnancy 5 months in advance, and she experienced a variety of poltergeistic phenomena, shaking beds and mirrors, the disappearance of objects. Although this brush with demons scared her so badly, she eventually abandoned the Ouija board. She still gives psychic readings and includes a song about parapsychology, "Faith is Blind." Now listen to this. I was taught in high school by the sister of Joni Mitchell. She was my high school English teacher. Her sister's name is Joni Mitchell. How many have ever heard of Joni Mitchell? What's the name of that song? Both Sides Now, or whatever. It was her most famous, I think. And she's had others. Another female artist, Joni Mitchell, credits her creative impulses to a male muse, which is a male demon, named Art. She feels she is married to him and often roams naked with him on a 40-acre retreat she owns. Her responsibility to the spirit is so strong, she declares that when he calls, she will forsake lovers and even excuse herself from parties. One of the foremost rock occultists is Ritchie Blackmore from Deep Purple, who then split to form his own group, Rainbow. Blackmore admits he regularly holds seances to get closer to God. And while he performs, he astral projects out of his body to float about the concert hall. He records in a 17th century castle, supposedly haunted by a demon, who is a servant of the 4,000-year-old Babylonian god, which we all know by the name of Baal. His admitted interest in black magic has inspired such songs as Yoga for Health, Stargazer, which is a slave of an Egyptian witch, Tarot Woman, about the prediction of the occultic tarot cards, and so on. Running a close second to Blackmore is Jimmy Page, who is lead singer for the group Led Zeppelin. Page runs his own occult bookstore called Aquinox, and is follower of the late infamous British spiritualist Aleister Crowley, a man so evil he was noted for his murders and his sexual perversion. He literally renamed himself the Beast 666. Crowley's mansion is now Page's home. He claims to hear chains dragging and footsteps on the stairs. Page was asked to compose the music for a film to be called Lucifer Rising. Mick Jagger had been interested in playing the role of Lucifer. Keith Richards of the Stones was to play Beelzebub. How many know what Beelzebub means? Beelzebub means Lord of the Manure Pile. Amen? That's another name for Satan. Isn't that a good name for Satan? Lord of the Manure Pile, or Lord of the Dung Heap. Convicted murderer and member of the Charles Manson cult, Bobby Bussell, had been picked for the head role until it scared him so bad he quit and replaced Page as the film's musical composer. The black band, Earth, Wind, and Fire, has long explored mysticism. Before going on stage, leader Maurice White, who believes he possesses occult powers from previous incarnations, has the entire group join hands in a circle to tune in the force of higher powers before going on stage. Now, let me say it again. Rock music is used to promote revolution, sex, mainly sex perversion, drugs, and the occult. Now, I want to take some time tonight. We're going to be getting to the music here in a few minutes. But let me just read to you what was said by a spokesman for the rock industry at the International Music Conference. He said these words, and I quote, "Record companies and music publishers have earned many millions of dollars from extolling the virtues of drugs. Would one turn out phonograph records extolling the virtues of forced rape, armed robbery, or kidnapping?" I'm quoting a rock producer, one who's in the business. He produces records, makes money off it. Let me read that again. "Would one turn out phonograph records extolling the virtues of forced rape, armed robbery, or kidnapping?" The answer, he says, I think, for many companies is yes, as long as there is money in it and they don't go to jail. Now, I'll tell you, kids, you are being manipulated by adults. You think it's all for you, but the adults run the rock industry. The teenagers who produce rock and the rock stars are simply puppets in the machinery of adults who are pushing their garbage on the teenagers of today. If there's anybody you ought to rebel against, it's the rock stars who are taking you over at their own for their own profit and putting the money into their pocket. Satan can only work. Listen, the reason Satan hates this sermon tonight is he can only work in darkness. He can only work if you do not know what he's up to. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And Satan has duped us into thinking that rock music is great, it's good, it's wonderful for our generation. But let me say this, rock music has no place in the Christian life. Rock has a driving, rhythmic beat that stimulates the flesh, which absolutely has no place, Christian rock or any kind of rock, in the Christian life. What you have to remember with rock is that the music, more often than the words, is the message. That the music, the sensual music that is played, is more often the message than even what the words say. How many have ever listened to a rock song and you couldn't figure out a whole sentence in a row? Why? Because the message, the words are not that important. It's the music, the rhythm, the drive that speaks to the flesh and stimulates the baser instincts of mankind. The newest technique that's being used by rock groups is called backward masking or subliminals. That is, a subliminal is this. It's a message which is directed below the level of consciousness. That is, if you hear it, you can't hear it with the conscious mind, but your subconscious can pick up the words of the music. Now, I'm going to demonstrate some of that tonight in a few minutes. But before I do, I want to mention some things about some rock groups that all of our teenagers here tonight are familiar with. Some of you adults have heard of. Some of you, you haven't heard of these groups. But most of you are familiar with these groups. The first group that I want to mention is a group that has geared their music to appeal to the age group of 8 to 13 mainly, and often pulls in older people or teenagers to their listening. Now, KISS means this. How many know what the word KISS means? It means Knights in Satan's Service. Knights in Satan's Service. What Alice Cooper was to dead bodies and corpses, KISS becomes to fire breathing and sadomasochism, which is, well, I'll get into that a little later. With Kubuckeye whitened faces, they leap on stage, puking blood, declaring, "God of rock and roll will steal your virgin soul." Producer Bob Ezrin described KISS as symbols of unfettered evil and sensuality. Their leather gay costuming and flair for stage violence earned the group a fanatical following referred to as their army. Rock magazine called them fire-breathing demons from rock and roll hell. Gene Simmons of the band is best known for his ability to lasciviously extend his tongue, which is an ancient pagan symbol of demon worship. Peter Criss, one of the group members, boldly declares, "I find myself evil. I believe in the devil as much as God. You can use either one to get the things done." Gene Simmons, who confesses an interest in cannibalism, says, "If God is hot stuff, why is he afraid to have other gods before him? I've always wanted to be God." Now, teenagers, I'm not quoting from a Christian magazine. I'm quoting from Rock and Roll, from Rolling Stones, from Circus, from People magazine, from secular magazines that feed the rock industry. Whether their demeanor evokes images of sensuality, Simmons claims to have slept with over 1,000 women, or violence, their psychodramas are emulated by millions of teens. One young fan killed a classmate who had quarreled with him over KISS. Steve Glantz, a Detroit rock promoter, said of them, "It's almost like Hitler rock, because that audience, because of their beat, they're mesmerized by the music. The audience is mesmerized by the music. They have their audience hypnotized. They could say anything and it'd be done. They could say, 'We're going out there and lift up this building,' and they just lift it up. That's the kind of control they have over their audience." Now, how many have ever seen the little dolls advertised, KISS dolls? They're in all the stores now, at least were. I don't know, maybe it's gone out since Christmas. But the KISS dolls, all kinds of paraphernalia. Everybody says, "Well, Elton John, he's not too bad." Let me read you something about Elton John. This is from Rolling Stone magazine. Elton John says, "I crave to be loved," in Rolling Stone magazine. He says, "There's nothing wrong with going to bed with somebody of your own sex. I just think people should be free with sex. They should draw the line at goats." Alice Cooper, who everyone has... How many have heard of Alice Cooper? Raise your hand. How many adults have heard? All right. Adults aren't participating tonight. I can understand that. Let me see. Alice Cooper, or better known by his parents as Vincent Furnier, the preacher's son from Arizona, rose to fame as Alice Cooper. Got his name, by the way, from a Ouija board. A Ouija board told him several times if he would change his name to Alice, he would be a star of rock and roll. And it happened so many times on the same Ouija board that he changed his name to Alice. And Alice Cooper, by giving his fans exhibitions of transvestitism, snakes, mutilating chickens, and mock public executions. His record albums were each based on unified concepts exploring ever-deepening stages of perversion. School's Out, featured its vinyl. Well, I'll skip that. Billion Dollar Baby, Billion Dollar Babies was one of his records. Pictured a baby made up with Cooper-style mascara. Welcome to My Midnight was staged by Alice simulating sex with a corpse via a live mannequin, and Alice Cooper Goes to Hell suggests that the Rude's rock queen ultimately meets up with the devil, who is characterized as the greatest number one. He once credited his fame to the possession of a spirit from the 17th century. Now, the reason I'm giving you some background on these groups is because I could not possibly use everyone's music tonight. Black Sabbath. Their music is called by some Satan rock. They have been known for publicity purposes to hold black masses before a concert, complete with a nude person on an altar sprinkled with chicken blood. Their first album pictured the cross of Christ upside down, a satanic symbol. A later album, Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, depicted a nude satanic ritual with the number 666 emblazoned across the front. Let me see. I don't want to read everything here because it's not good. As their popularity grew, the band sought to shed their earlier black magic image. Still One Rock periodical says they demonstrate an almost hellish power over their audience. Several members of the group admit to involvement in astral projection. That's the ability to leave your body, your spirit, to leave its body and to move across the audience to control it. Lead singer Ozzy Osbourne claims he has been compelled to see The Exorcist 26 times. Osbourne says, "I don't know if I'm a medium from some outside force. Whatever it is, frankly, I hope it's not what I think. I think it's Satan." And he's exactly right. Elvis Presley. How many know Elvis Presley? Adults, I'm going to pick on you for a while because you grew up listening to Elvis Presley. Various magazines. Everyone knows what Dr. Hiles has said about Elvis Presley claiming to be saved in an Assembly of God church in Mississippi. But towards the latter part of his life, as he got into rock and roll, he turned from God. Whether he was ever saved, we do not know. I doubt it. I don't know. I've talked with several people that have talked with Elvis Presley who said that, and Elvis, every time he was asked, claimed to be a Christian. But you'll see from what I'm going to give you that that's almost an impossibility, if not impossible. Various magazines quoted friends and confidants of Elvis that he was addicted to a variety of drugs, including heroin. A bodyguard claimed that the buttocks of Elvis was so pocketed with needle marks there was hardly room left for another injection. You remember he sung, I'm afraid to ask this, so I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but some of you probably have some of his so-called Christian albums in your home. At the end of his life, he studied paranormal phenomena and communicated regularly with a psychic in Denver, Colorado. Elvis claimed that he could form clouds with the power of his mind and would sometimes load friends into a limousine for a midnight visit to the coroner or the graveyard. In fact, one close friend contended that Elvis actually believed that he was Jesus with the power to draw out diseases in his hands. He turned from an Assembly of God choir boy into a devotee of the Hindu mystic Paramahansa Yogananda, founder of the Self-Realization Fellowship. Now, it seems to be that every group that gets involved in rock and roll, every man, everyone that's been involved in it, begins to move into the occult because the two go together. Now, I want to begin to demonstrate some music for you. The first thing that I want to demonstrate is a song from Electric Light Orchestra. This song is, I'm going to play it forward first, then I'll play it backwards. But this song is trying to get the teenagers to listen to the music as it goes in a backwards direction. Now, I want to demonstrate to you this music tonight, and you listen. Electric Light Orchestra, this is a song called Fire on High. Was a very, very popular song. Electric Light is not as popular anymore, but they were around for quite a few years. They're a very popular group.
dream. The music is reversible, but time.
Music is reversible. Turn back, turn back, turn back. Speaking. Now remember, that's not to the conscious mind. That's to the subconscious. It's on the album. It's on every album they ever sold of Fire on High. But it's telling the subconscious mind to listen to the music backwards. The music is reversible. Turn back, turn back, turn back. Getting them to tune themselves in to the backwards message of the music used called backward masking. Masking. Now subliminals are so powerful that they were at one time used on television and on the movie screen. They tried it out in certain theaters. They would show a film, and they would across the screen on the film that they showed, it would say, "You're thirsty, you want a soft drink." And they found out that it worked so well that you couldn't see it with a conscious mind, but your subconscious mind saw it. That it worked so well, hundreds of people would get out of their seats immediately and go get a soft drink, that it was such a powerful mind-control tool that it has been outlawed in America. But it has not been outlawed on just audio cassettes or records, just on audiovisual. It ought to be outlawed on both. Now, the next group that I want you to listen to is the group that everyone's heard of called the Beatles. This is a song that they recorded some years ago called Revolution Number 9. Now, the Beatles, as most of you know, were turned on to the Eastern cults, the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who came and was introduced to the American people, American teenagers in particular, by the Beatles and by the Beach Boys. Now, before he came, there weren't but a few thousand followers of the Eastern religion, which Maharishi Mahesh Yoga brought to this nation. But within 1 year, there were over 1 million followers of the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And he was introduced to the Beatles by George Harrison. They began to follow him. And then they produced some music that I'll demonstrate later to tell how that they were dedicated to their Eastern God and not to Christ. You remember that it was the Beatles that said, "We're more popular than Jesus Christ." One of their promoters said, "I'm almost afraid to go with the Beatles to their concerts." He said, "I don't like Christ." He said, "But the Beatles are so anti-Christ, it scares me." Now I want you to listen. This will be going forward, first of all. This is on the album, or the song, Revolution Number 9, one of the most popular songs in history.
Number 9, number 9, number 9, number 9, number 9, number 9. Number 9, number 9, number 9, number 9, number 9, number 9, number 9.
All right, now I'm going to play it backwards, and I want you to listen. If you remember, some years ago, the Beatles tried to figure out if they could convince their audience that Paul McCartney had died. It was a big promotional thing that Paul McCartney had died behind the scenes, and what this will say backwards is, "Turn me on, dead man." In other words, Paul McCartney is now dead, but turn me on, dead man. A backwards message. Remember, you can't hear this forward. It says number 9, number 9, number 9 forward, but backwards it says, "Turn me on, dead man." You listen. Now let me say this. Don't go home and start spinning your albums backwards and try to find this. You won't find it. You have to have a special kind of recorder to get the music. You can't get it off your albums. You have to put it on to special tape music and then play it backwards, and most tape recorders will not play backwards. So don't try to do it. You won't get it that way. Now, one of the things that they've promoted is transcendental meditation through the Eastern cults. I just thought this was interesting. This is a spelling book that's used by the Boston Public School System. And one of our men in our church, Richard Martell, just happened to bring this into me. And the very first chapter in spelling is by the bisexual rock star, promoting the bisexual rock star, Captain Fantastic, or better known as Elton John. Now, we go a little farther in the spelling book used by the public school system, and it has a serious story about the spirit of Abraham Lincoln that seriously walks through the Ford Theater, teaching them about spirits. We go a little farther in this spelling book, and it has a story of the lady named Lillian Crosby, who is a mystic or a medium, and telling them how that she can predict the future through her special psychic power. We go a little farther in this spelling book to show you how this has infected the minds of America. Here is the picture of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and turning the kids on to transcendental meditation in their spelling book in the public school system. It's something that has begun to permeate the minds of American youth. Now, this next song that I want to demonstrate is not using backward masking, but this song is the national anthem of the gay rights movement. Every teenager here that listens to rock music, that is, knows of the group Queen. The word queen is a word given to a homosexual in their terminology. He's a queen. They picked up their name and they called themselves Queen. One of the most popular songs ever produced was the song We Are the Champions. And the Queen sings that we are the champions of the gay movement. I want you to listen to this just for a minute.
I paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, I've made a few.
We are the champions, my friend, and we'll keep on fighting to the end, saying that we'll fight for gay rights till the very end. The Queens are homosexuals. Then one of the most popular groups of all times, most everyone's heard of them, Led Zeppelin. Let me give you a little background before I play their most famous song, Stairway to Heaven, which is the most requested song in all rock history. Led Zeppelin, lead singer Robert Plant, admits to a fascination with black magic, but can hardly hold a candle to the occultic interests of Jimmy Page. Remember I told you that Jimmy Page bought the demon-infested mansion of Aleister Crowley and has an occult bookstore in England. But it goes on to say this. To charges that Page is a practicing witch, he says, "I do not worship the devil, but magic does intrigue me." Zeppelin's album Presence displayed an oddly shaped object that has stirred speculation to it, of its meanings. Page reveals that it is designed to symbolize the force that enables the group to so profoundly affect their audience, a power that is simply referred to as the presence. And they invoke the power of the presence when they put on their rock concerts. Now, I'm going to play this song, Stairway to Heaven. Remember, this is the most popular, most requested rock song of all time, called Stairway to Heaven. Now, the words that you're going to hear, this is the inside record cover of the Led Zeppelin's record. Notice these symbols up here all have an occultic meaning. I tried to find the meaning of them, was unable to. I looked in several books in the library, could not find the meaning of those symbols, but it is the symbols are being placed on rock albums to invoke Satan's power to help them sell their music. Now, Led Zeppelin, most requested song of all history is Stairway to Heaven. Let me play it forward, and then I'm going to give you the words and tell you what to listen for backwards, because backwards masking is not, well, I was going to say it's not as easy to hear as forward, But with rock music, it's almost as easy to hear as it is forward. So listen to it forward. And here's, well, let me give you what it's going to say. It's going to say this. If there's a bustle in your hedge grove, don't be alarmed now. It's just a spring clean for the May Queen. Yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on. That's what it says forward, and then I'll tell you what it says backwards. Play the same music backwards, and the message is totally different. Now, let me say this to teenagers. Teenagers, we're saying these things to you tonight because we love you. Most of the adults here tonight, I'm sure, were involved in some kind of popular rock music as they grew up, if they're of that age. They have done the same things you've done for the most part, but they were never duped by the rock industry, like teenagers are being duped today, being deceived, being fooled. Satan has gotten control of the rock industry as never before because he's only got a short time left till Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. And he's working to control the minds of men. Now, you've just heard Stairway to Heaven forward. I want you to listen closely. I may have to play this twice. Here's what it'll say backwards, so listen to it. It says, I will sing because I live with Satan. Here's to my sweet Satan. In a little time, it'll make me sad. Whose power is Satan? My sad Satan. Now listen to the words and try to pick it up. Listen closely. Pick it up. Let me play it back again. All right, now listen. It says, I will sing because I live with Satan. Here's to my sweet Satan. In a little time for to make me sad, whose power is Satan, my sad Satan. It's a song dedicated to their god, Satan, by Led Zeppelin. Be here in just a minute. First thing he says is, I will sing. Because I live with Satan is the first thing. Led Zeppelin dedicated that song to Satan. I will sing because I live with Satan. Here's to my sweet Satan in a little time for to make me sad, whose power is Satan. Now the next group is called Queen. Again, remember, Queen means what? Homosexual. and it's their music, their purpose is to promote homosexuality. Now, their purpose is also to promote drugs. As far as I know, I've never heard this on tape before until Brother Vanderwall and I worked together to put this on tape. Now, you're going to hear it forward first. How many teenagers here have heard the song, Another One Bites the Dust? All right. You see how popular it is. Now, listen. Forward, it says, Another One Bites the Dust. Now, I'm going to play it again, and I want you to listen closely. But when I play it, you're going to hear something else. It says over and over again, Another One Bites the Dust forward. But backwards, if you listen closely, it's saying to the teenager over and over again, decide to smoke marijuana. Decide to smoke marijuana. Decide to smoke marijuana. Listen closely. A little bit of it. All right, just pick some more up. All right, decide to smoke marijuana over. That song must say Another One Bites the Dust hundreds of times, I guess. I don't know. But every time it says Another One Bites the Dust, and you can't figure out how these songs are produced by saying the words backwards. In other words, you can't decide to smoke marijuana no matter how hard you try by saying Another One Bites the Dust. What the rock singers who are using backward masking do is they figure out what syllables, what sounds they have to put together in order to produce what they want to say to the minds of the youth backwards. Decide to smoke marijuana over and over again. Again, I want to play something by the Beatles. How many have heard the song My Sweet Lord by the Beatles? All right? Almost probably every adult, when you hear it, you've heard it. Even the adults have heard that. It's been picked up by a lot of people and used over again. But My Sweet Lord was written as a dedication to the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And not him in particular, but to the god Hare Krishna. How many have ever heard of Hare Krishna? All right? Now I want you to listen close. You may have never heard this before. First it says, My Sweet Lord, and it has some music in the background. Then I'll play the other part. This is by the Beatles, My Sweet Lord. All right, now you heard it said, My Sweet Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now listen to what it says towards the end of the record. Listen very closely. Krishna, Hare Krishna. Let me play a little bit again, okay? Listen. Dedicated to Hare Krishna, Eastern God that everyone's heard of. How many have seen the Hare Krishnas in the Boston Commons or somewhere playing their tambourines and doing their thing? All right. All right. Now, one of the most blatant songs ever produced dedicated to the devil is the Rolling Stones song, Sympathy for the Devil, which is been declared as the national anthem of the Satan Church. Richards, who's one of the members of the group, says, and I quote, "There are black magicians who think we are acting as unknown agents of Lucifer. To support such speculation, the Stone songs have ranged from the espousal of violent revolution in Street Fighting Man to the anthem of Satanist Sympathy for the Devil. A Stones concert is an orgy of sexual celebration with Jagger as the head cheerleader. Strutting and prancing across the stage, his androgynous performance evokes the delight of both men and women. Keith Richards once observed that the Stones song spontaneously, like inspiration at a seance. He explains that the tunes arrive en masse as if the Stones, as songwriters, were only a willing and open medium, with voodoo incantations and the screams of demon possession accompanying cuts like Dancing with Mr. D or Dancing with the Devil. One is left wondering if perhaps the satanic imagery of Mr. Jagger and company is all connected." All right? Now, let me read the words before you listen. I'm not going to play the whole song, but a part of Sympathy for the Devil. It's very hard to pick up the words. Unless you buy the words, you almost can't pick them up. Unless you listen to it 1,000 times and really listen hard. But I want you to realize that Mick Jagger is singing this song in the first person. That is, just as if he is Satan himself. And he very may well be possessed of Satan himself. He says this, "Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for long, long years, stolen many a man's soul and faith. I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and faith," accusing Christ of doubt and faith. "I made sure that Pilate washed his hands and sealed his faith. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. I stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was time for a change. I killed the Tsar and his ministers. Anastasia screamed in vain. I rode a tank, held a general's rank, with the blitzkrieg raged and the bodies stank. I watched with glee while your kings and queens fought for ten decades for the gods they made. I shouted out, 'Who killed the Kennedys?' when after all it was you and me. Let me please introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and fame, and I lay traps for troubadours and get killed before they reach Bombay. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Just as every cop is a criminal and all the sinners saints." Did you get that? That sounds like the devil, doesn't it? Turning the truth right around. "As head is tails, just call me Lucifer." Remember Mick Jagger singing in the first person. "Just call me Lucifer because I'm in need of some restraint. So if you meet me, have some courtesy, have some sympathy and some taste. Use all your well-learned politeness, or I'll lay your soul to waste. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game." Recently, they've been thinking of producing a film on Lucifer. And Mick Jagger has literally been begging to play the lead part. I believe that he believes he is Satan himself. Now listen, this is the song that blasphemes Christ and says that Mick Jagger is Lucifer himself. How many teens have heard it? I made Pilate wash his hands and seal Christ's fate. He made sure that Christ was crucified. All right? However, he didn't have anything to do with it. Jesus willingly laid down his life. Amen. Willingly gave his life for every mom and dad, teenager, child that ever lived. Jesus did not was not put on the cross by the devil. He died willingly for us. The Ultimate Stones embodiment of dark images came on their album Goat's Head Soup. By the way, how many teenagers have heard that song before? How many people here today have heard Sympathy for the Devil before? Not very many, huh? Well, maybe 50, 60. That's not as many as I thought. I thought there'd be more. Part of it was recorded at a... Listen to this. Part of it was recorded at a Haitian voodoo ritual. Behind the music, you can hear the screams of those who are becoming possessed of devil spirits, of evil spirits, and so on and so forth. And the album, in the inside of the album, is a color picture of a severed goat's head floating in a boiling cauldron. Surely the stones are aware that the goat's head is the universal symbol of Satan worship. Now, the next group that I'm going to play a record of is called Black Oak, Arkansas. They burst on the scene for a few years and then burst off it almost as quickly as they burst on. Kind of an underground group, and their record is probably the most blatant record in declaring that Satan is God. I'll play it forward for you, and you'll be shocked forward, let alone backwards. But when I play it backwards, you'll hear the words, Satan, 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 he is God, he is God, he is God. This is forwards. Burp, man. When he burped, didn't he? He didn't mess around. He enjoyed his meal. Amen? Anyway, now, by the way, this is a live concert. This is not done electronically. Most of these records, they did not electronically record them and turn them backwards. That was not done electronically. This is recorded live. They had to figure out the syllables to say to get Satan, Satan, Satan. He is God. He is God. He is God. Now, you heard him say it sounded like he was saying, what's happening? Didn't you hear that? Did you hear that? Now, those syllables put together, it sounds like what's happening. That's not what he's saying. It's just a bunch of syllables. Placed backwards, you'll hear the words, it'll come on like this. Now, you've got to listen closely to this or you'll miss it. It comes on like this. Satan. Satan. Now, listen closely. That's the hardest one to hear, I think. Now, remember, he's saying Satan, 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 and then you'll hear it, and you'll have to listen closely because there's so many demonic screams in the background. He's saying, he is God, he is God, he is God. Now listen closely. Listen to that one very closely. Said very quickly, he is God, he is God, he is God. Satan is their God. Now, Satan, young people, has literally taken hold of the rock industry. And Satan is perverting the minds of our youth and many adults alike through rock music. It has become the medium for Satan to use to control the minds of mankind. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. And that Satan is transformed into an angel of light, and that he hath blinded the minds of men. Blinded their minds. So you don't have to be in darkness to be blind. You can be in darkness spiritually and be walking around in sight. Satan is blinding the minds of men. Now, I want to say something else. I want you to turn in your Bibles just for a minute, and I'm going to play some more music, demonstrate some more music for you. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let me share just a couple more things with you tonight in the way of music, and then we'll be through. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I want you to look at verse 12. Now, I want to tell you the problem that's developed in Christian circles with our music. The problem that's developed is we've decided that putting Christian words to any kind of music makes it Christian. And that's a lie of the devil. It does not make it Christian. It says in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 10, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with them that commend themselves." Now, notice this part. It's important. "But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." What Christians have done is they've compared their music with rock music and in many cases have said it's just as rocky, but we put Christian words to it, therefore it's okay. It's a lie of the devil. And in many cases they've said, well, it's softer, as we'll see. I'll demonstrate some of that. It's softer music, therefore it's okay. I want you to hear some so-called Christian music. This first one is by the group Wings of Light. It's called Daystar. These groups are very, very popular in charismatic churches, Pentecostal churches across our land, and I'm sure in other churches also. Just a minute. That's not the Christian music. But this isn't either. It's called Wings of Light by Daystar. That, folks, does not appeal to the spirit. It appeals to the flesh. Amen? All right. Now, I want you to listen to another so-called Christian singer, Keith Green. Here he writes, here's his song, "Dear John, Letter to the Devil." Notice that the music, notice that this particular singer tries to sound as close as he can to Mick Jagger. Great Christian music, isn't it? All right. Just because you put Christian words to it does not make it Christian music. The beat and the music is the message. Now, I want you to listen to this group. This group is a little deceiving. This, as far as I know, how many have heard of the group, the second chapter of Acts? How many's ever heard of that? It's one of the most deceiving groups out today. This is their song. I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 93, the book of Psalm, chapter 93. I want you to follow the words of this song and notice that the song starts out, not the music isn't too bad in the beginning. His voice inflections are very fleshly. And the use of the voice, the inflections of the voice, can bring fleshliness to the music as much as anything else. Notice this. Follow it in your Bible. Psalm 93. And notice what they do to the Psalm 93.
With strength.
singing to yourselves in psalms and spiritual hymns. That's not at all what the Lord meant. A song to praise God must praise through the Spirit, not through the flesh. That song is absolutely of the flesh. Here's one that's even worse, by Randy Stonehill. Anybody here know Randy Stonehill? All right, Randy Stonehill. This is called Trouble Coming. This one, this one's unbelievable. Called Christian Music. Christians, if you've been deceived by this garbage, something's wrong with your brain. I can't believe it. What else to say? Listen. Trouble coming is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. That brings great praise and honor to His name. Listen, this idea that let's take worldly music and let's use it for the glory of God is absolutely a lie of the devil. The Bible says that they comparing themselves by themselves are not wise. You can say, well, we'll compare our music with the music of the world and ours isn't bad. We've put Christian words to it. Now, I want to play some music. And I think every Christian here has been saved very long, has heard of this next lady. And some of you have been with me up till now, but you're going to be against me now. Because I'm going to play some music for you by a very popular singing lady who everybody knows. She's sung in Billy Graham Crusades. She's on the radio every single day that it's on. And her name is Evie. And Evie's music, I've seen Evie sing. She sings in one of the most fleshly styles that I've ever seen in my life. Throwing her head back, making sure she's as sensual as she can possibly be. And just because her music slows down and becomes soft rock instead of hard rock does not make it Christian music. I'm losing some of you now. You don't agree with me. You listen. That was my tribute. Did you know it was my tribute? How many knew that was my tribute? How many didn't? How many know what my tribute is? Raise your hand. How many couldn't even tell it was my tribute? That's because you heard the music, not the words. It brought no glory to God. Here's the next one. Same lady. Two instruments did you hear most? What did you hear most in that music? Huh? Drums and what? Guitar. All right? The words were not important to Evie. What was important was the music. That's absolutely wrong. The words are important. The music is to speak to the soul. Now, so far, you've probably said, well, those aren't that bad. Well, in your opinion, they might not be. They're soft rock. Now, here is her song, Sweet Song of Salvation. Now, she says on her, is it this album she says this? She says on this album that not everyone has the same taste in music, so this music is designed to speak or to satisfy or make everyone happy. Now that's exactly what the Bible says we're to do, isn't it? No, it isn't, is it? Because we're to glorify God whether everyone's happy about it or not. Now you listen. Now, I didn't think it'd be fair tonight to attack the music that the teenagers listen to without attacking the music that the rest of you listen to. It just because you put Christian words to it does not make it music that praises and glorifies God. It's got to have the right kind of music. The words of praise to God have to be the predominant thing. Now, let me just finish this way. Ted Nugent, very popular rock star, says, describing his outlook on rock, he declares, "Rock is a perfect primal method of releasing our violent instincts. I used to rape an audience. Now I like a little foreplay. I literally demand a reaction from an audience. He apparently gets what he wants." A rock periodical reported that 12 people died in a riot after his performance in South Carolina. Now, promotes the primal method of releasing our violent instincts. He says, "I like to rape an audience. Literally control the minds of those who listen." Rock music is out to control the minds of those who listen, to praise Satan, to promote drugs, to promote revolution and sex perversion. Now, what does the Bible say we're to do for things that praise the devil? Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we're almost through. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 25. I heard a fella say one time that he listened to rock music on a regular basis. He said, "I got saved," and he said, "I had hundreds of rock albums." And he said, "I couldn't bear to give them up, but," he said, "I knew I had to when I got saved and changed my music and put a new song in my heart." He said, "So I decided I'd just go sell them to some rock freak that really could use them and get the money out of them." But you know, the Bible says don't worry about the money that they bring. In fact, the Bible says just the opposite. Look at verse 25. It says, "The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire." Listen. The graven images of the rock industry and the praise of Satan is rock albums. It says, "Burn them with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold." Don't sell them. Don't get the money out of them that is on them. "Nor take it into thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God." Now notice what God says about such things as this. "Neither shalt thou bring an abomination." Something that praises a false god is an abomination. "Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing." God says that anything that praises a false god is not to be brought into our homes. It's a cursed thing that ought to be burned with fire. In Acts chapter 19, we have a New Testament example. I'll not have you turn there. The Apostle Paul preaches in a certain city, and those that get saved bring all their satanic emblems and images and witchcraft items into the city square, and there publicly they burn them. I suggest to you tonight that the greatest thing you can do with your rock music is burn it. Amen? The greatest thing you can do with your Christian rock music is burn it. It's not any better. The greatest thing, listen, teenagers, let me say something to these adults. The greatest thing you can do with your country, western, fleshly, sensual music is burn it. It's of the devil. It promotes just as much sensuality, just as much sex perversion as all of the rock albums that are in the market today. You ought to get rid of it and get yourself some good, godly, Christian music. Now you say, but preacher, what do I do if I'm already caught up in it, and it's already got a hold on me? Colossians chapter 1 says this. You need not turn there. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have forgiveness through His blood, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin." God says, teenagers, adults, you need to be translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago on the cross to free you from Satan. And Satan is out to control you through rock music, through drugs, through sex perversion. He's telling you that it's great, that it's what you need. And my friend, it is not what you need. It is not great. It is not good for you. Let me give you a list of some of the rock stars who we can take we can take the cover off and see the truth about rock music. You know what the wages of sin is? Death. It always brings death. The first famous rock star to die from an overdose was...